Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Aileen Drexler.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I'm on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm your host, Aileen, and I am very, very excited about today's episode, today's guest. Victoria Garrick is joining us today for this episode of DST. She's been on the show before, but it was a really long time ago. She's a mental health advocate, host of the Real Pod podcast, former D1 volleyball athlete, and just like one of my favorite accounts to follow on Instagram. Welcome back to the show, Victoria.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me back. I know it was really a long time ago, but it was so much fun. And I'm so happy to be back. It's always fun when you get like one interview or like appearance with someone out of the way. And then the next time you can come back, you can like really just jump into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. I mean, though that said, that was like December 2020.
I know why that was like, honestly though, but I still think of 2020 as like yesterday. Like yeah. 2021 didn't really happen in my mind. So I still refer to last year being 2020.
Right. I struggled just like before I saw it was like 2020, December time. I was like, was that 2 years ago? Was that half a year ago? Like how long ago was that? I literally had to like do math.
It's really going to be weird when we hit 2023 and 2024 because I will still be thinking.
Don't get me started on 2023. That number is odd. Like it's going to be so confusing.
I completely agree.
So that said, we talked a lot about your story, you know, why you started Real Pod at that time. We have a lot of new listeners now on DST. So would you be able to give kind of just a reminder, a refresher of what you post about your personal brand and all your content and just like kind of where you are today from where you started.
Of course. Here is the Spark Notes. Mm-hmm. I went to USC. I played volleyball there. I was an athlete my whole life. I had a somewhat difficult time adjusting to the demands of the Division I lifestyle. It was a lot of pressure and a very stressful environment. And that's when I first started experiencing anxiety and depression. And I had body image issues pretty much my whole life, but you know, I didn't really realize it until the mixture of everything in college kind of led me to develop some really unhealthy binge eating and restriction habits. And then in college, I also, my first years, underclassmen years was like in the trenches. And then my upperclassmen years were like coming out of that and kind of gaining the awareness to recognize what I had been through and like why I had felt so ashamed and to like learn about intuitive eating and develop a better relationship with food. And so on that healing journey, which we need to find a different word for healing journey, because I know. I like cringe up when I say that, because I don't know. It just sounds so like high up, like, I don't know. But on my road to just get better in all forms, anxiety, depression, eating disorder, life, I started kind of sharing my story. The first way was through a TED Talk, which that always is lifts eyes, because it's like the first time you decided to share anything was a TED Talk. How did you get that? How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was fate. But if you want to figure that out, you can just Google my YouTube. I put a YouTube video up about it. We'll save you the time here. And then I started posting about it on Instagram. I started a YouTube channel. And then I sort of just naturally developed a voice online. And now I kind of post about, yes, mental health, but sort of, I would say the main crux of my content is just realness and like not filtering things, whether that's the actual image or what you're saying, just being very straightforward. And then the very last thing I'll say before I stop my spark notes is I was doing this back in 2017. So the current trend of realness wasn't happening. It wasn't a trend. It was very uncool when I did it. So to anyone listening, being like, this is an influencer who's like, my brand is realness. It really is. And I will go to the grave with that. And you can check it out and see it's different than what everyone's kind of starting to do, because it's now the popular thing.
You don't have to tell me about that, about realness as a brand, because that's sort of also what Betches has been doing since 2011.
Yes, it's so true. And I used to scroll, told you guys this last time, I used to scroll through Betches in class because I loved the memes and I thought it was so relatable.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, we do it like primarily through humor. But yeah, so congratulations though. You've garnered like a really large following, especially since we last spoke. And also you got engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you. I actually went on Betches Brides podcast. So that was so fun.
Sammy and I, when we were talking about wedding stuff all the time, that was a big thing. Body image was a big topic because like, quote unquote, shedding for the wedding is like a really hot topic. And whether or not one should or should not or wants to do that. And my wedding diet specifically was coming out of that, was the thing that forced me into intuitive eating and learning about it. So how are you feeling about that?
Well, I actually released a podcast episode called Why I'm Not Shedding for the Wedding. I, from the get-go, took like a very polar opposite stance that I think like bridal culture wants you to, you know, there is this, I was almost going to say unspoken, but it's not unspoken. It's spoken. There's a spoken understanding that you should be like, quote unquote, look your best for your wedding. And for 98% of people still, they associate best with smallest. And so, you know, I think when I first was engaged and was thinking about wedding dress shopping and all of those things, I was entering it in a really good place with my body and my relationship with food. So that felt great because I knew that I wasn't necessarily fragile. And I'm super grateful for like the past, I think it is like four, almost 5 years now, that I've been really honing in on how I talk to myself about food, my relationship with food, how I feel about my own body. So I kind of had the confidence and the strength to like withstand a comment from a bridal consultant or a dress not fitting me or, you know, whatnot. So that was definitely helpful. I will acknowledge, you know, the privilege I have in my body that I'm not experiencing probably the pressure from people in my life to alter my body the way that I think someone else might in a more marginalized body. So that's obviously a huge difference. But lastly, I would just say, like, I come back to the fact that my fiance, Max, wants to marry me the way that I am. And how ironic would it be to accept this beautiful, you know, ask to spend my life with him and then spend the year up until we make that sacrifice completely changing myself?
Yeah.
It just like doesn't track. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, how I've been sort of having those conversations with myself. And I've really been trying to stray from the wedding being about how I look and focus on what it really is about, which is the commitment we're making to each other.
That's great. That seems very healthy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I know. It's boring. It's healthy. It's boring. I know.
No, it's not boring. I'm saying it's healthy. Congrats for having that like mindset. Looking back, I wish I had that same type of mindset, because I know I've said this many times, like I often like would tell my friends how stressed out about I am about wedding planning, and so stressful. And they're like, oh, like, what do you have left to plan? I'm like, nothing. And they're like, why are you so stressed? I'm like, I don't know. I just feel stressed. And then I like reflected. And I was like, oh, because I am stressed about losing weight. It was just like primarily that. And like imagining myself from like every angle. So I just, kudos to you for going into it with such commitment to not going that route.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely helpful. And it's been something that I'm grateful for. And it sounds easy when we talk about it right here, but in theory, it's been a lot of hard work and ups and downs on my own relationship with myself since I was 19, 20 years old. And I'm 25 now. So, you know, it's taken time, and I'm grateful that I was able, like the timeline of my life has worked out in that way. But my heart goes out, and I feel for anyone who's, you know, in the process of getting ready for a big event, like a graduation or a wedding or anything like that, and is also trying to heal their own traumas and disorders, because gosh, it's a lot. It's a lot. It takes a lot of time and energy to get yourself right. And I think everyone wants to have this quick fix of like, oh, if I go to therapy once, or if I read the self-help book, I won't be anxious anymore. I won't be depressed anymore. I won't struggle with food anymore. And it's like, no, these things take buckling up, doing things when you don't want to do them, putting the work in, crying, lots of energy and effort. And so that, along with everything that a wedding pulls from you, gosh, it's a lot.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's why like they call it a healing journey, because it's really that your thoughts are never just like healed. Like you're never just 100% healed. It's really when you feel like you're on your way out of whatever you were in, it feels like the majority of your thoughts are in the way that you are trying to heal them, whereas there are still sometimes those creeping thoughts, those old thoughts coming back. And like, it takes a lot of time to make the quote unquote good ones the majority.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
you feel like sometimes like old habits or old feelings like creeping up on you because of this like wedding pressure or really anything else?
Of course, you know, that's a part of the process. And when people have this expectation that I'll never think negatively about my body or I'll never want to know what the calories are, like they imagine that when they quote on, you know, people use this word recovery. Mm-hmm. I don't like that word because I think the words recovery and relapse sound really definitive to me. And I think that when we're trying to heal our mental health, there is no goal. Like you're going to get a place and check a box and never experience any of those mm-hmm. symptoms again. It's more so how do you live in alignment with where you want to be? And of course, sometimes we won't feel as aligned. That's part of being human, right? So yeah, of course I have moments or times where, you know, not everything isn't perfect. I mean, last weekend I was at a dinner in this tight black dress and it was like the kind of dress that was skin tight, but also kind of loose. And so when I sat at the table, I just felt the way that this dress like gripped underneath my muffin top, then like into the rolls above it, and then like closed it out on like my underboob. And I just was sitting there like feeling this my stomach fat just be like essentially like sculpted in this dress. And I was uncomfortable, you know, for like a momentarily there. I was like, oh my gosh, my stomach, like, you know, I have that thought creep in of, it wasn't even like I had a negative thought, more so the awareness of like, oh my gosh, look at your stomach right now.
Yeah.
And I literally at the table, like to myself, cause I'm a freaking weirdo and I prioritize this shit. I'm sitting there quietly like, okay, it's okay to have stomach fat. It's okay to have a belly. It's okay to sit and be with this, your stomach in this way, like, and explore, why do I feel this desire to adjust the way I'm sitting and suck it in? Mm-hmm. You know, just, and really remind myself, it's okay to sit in this. It's okay to embrace this. Like, this is your stomach. This is a part of your body. And like, your body is beautiful. And so, you know, that's an example of a time that came up recently and kind of how I worked through it.
I love that. That's a great example. You know what I love? Those videos you just posted with Ella, those are really funny. And they positively affected me, like in real time. Like you had a video about like, what if we just said really nice things to ourselves in a mirror? That was very funny too. Like the delivery was really on point. I laughed. I rewatched it. Yeah. And there was something where I think it was that one where you were saying like, oh, I have my period and I'm going to be bloated. That just like is what it is. And right. So like I was also on that section of my cycle and I felt, right. And I was going out and I was wearing high-waisted jeans and I felt very bloated. And I was like, why the fuck does my body need to be smaller? Like I'm on my, like I have my period. I'm going to be bloated. That humans are bloated. The end. Right. And then I just walked out and it was very liberating and I have you to thank for it. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That is so great. Thank you for sharing that with me. We kind of call it this like alternate reality where girls love their insecurities and mm-hmm. It was fun for us and ironic to kind of joke about like, the expectations that we have for our bodies that are so impossible, you know, like when Ella was saying, you know, are we supposed to eat food and then our stomach goes in? Like I'm confused. And it's like, wait, we have to eat, you know, multiple times a day to live. And when you eat, things expand, like that is the human anatomy. So it's just funny to talk it through and realize how ridiculous it is to put these other expectations on ourselves.
I agree. I thought it was great. When you were brainstorming those videos, was there anything else that came up that made you think like, wow, I can't believe I didn't think of this before. This is a ridiculous thought that we have.
You know, I guess I'll just bring up like saggy boobs. I feel like people don't talk about this enough. And I've had some like recent like realizations around this. I don't know why I feel insecure that my boobs are saggy. And I don't know if they actually are or it's like dysmorphic when I look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, also I used to have bigger boobs and then I went off birth control. So they've shrunk. And so I think there's an element of that. But, you know, something in the video was like, first of all, there's like gravity, there's aging, like your boobs are going to change. And also I was talking to someone else. I don't want to like insult maybe if this is how someone else's body looks. However, if we are looking like scientifically at aging and gravity and how our bodies change, your boobs will get smaller and hang lower because that's a part of aging. So when we see plastic surgery and when we see in movies and Photoshop these like perfect, voluptuous, really high, perky boobs, it's mm-hmm. just not natural from the standpoint of like how our ancestors looked when they were like 40s, right? So I've been really trying to step into like, my boobs are beautiful and natural and like this is how they are and I don't have to constantly be grabbing my hands and like pulling them up.
Right. No, I mean, saggy boobs, especially after you have a child, the boobs definitely hang lower because they were filled with milk and then they got smaller. So it is, it's definitely, I like that message though. It's one of those things that you kind of like embrace later, I feel like, because when you realize sort of that they have a function besides what they sort of look like, that's what I found in my experience, that it's almost like you're a lot more thankful for or grateful for them. Like you care a little bit less. That said, there's a lot of talk in like mom land about like, quote, mommy makeovers, which I really don't like that phrase. It's this like, you know, zipping up and tucking in of all the parts that sort of went left and right after having kids. But yeah, I like that. I mean, the whole push-up bra thing is, I always like, baffled me. Why do I want my boobs next to my chin? Like, I don't like right, feel like that's right. comfy.
It's like, very like the Bridgerton look, you know, to have them up like that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's sexual. It's like, or sensual. It's like for being sort of sexy, which is fine, but it's just like, depends what you're doing it for, you know?
Totally. And the motherhood and body image struggle, you know, obviously it's something I don't know. I don't have kids, but I think about like what that journey will be like for me and how it will affect me. And like, as much as an outsider looking in can say, but you created life and like, how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it's like to sit in a body that feels like it's not yours, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's crazy, but it's all good. You have no choice but to go through it. So it's like, you go through it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, you're very unique in that you were an athlete and I'm assuming, do you still play volleyball? Is that part of your life?
Not really. There's not a whole lot of ways to keep playing at like a very high level unless you play professionally. And professionally for women, a lot of the times then in volleyball is overseas, which sucks, right? That's why we need to like, do better for women's sports. But no, you know, I played like a beach pickup game last week, which was fun, but you know, honestly, I don't play volleyball anymore. It's sad and I miss it.
I was going to ask, do you miss it? Do you miss the thrill? Do you miss being good at it? Like, what is it that you miss?
I think I miss being completely present. And it's very hard to be present nowadays in life. There's always something to check on your phone. There's someone to talk to. I struggle to sit on my own balcony and alone and not be like, oh, I should go inside and check something or get something done or clean this. Mm-hmm. And when I was playing volleyball, I just felt present. Like my phone's in my water bottle bag or it's in the locker room. I'm upstairs. I have like 2 or 3 hours where I'm working on the mind-body connection. And like, it just was such a great challenge and it was so cathartic. And it's hard to find that presence now. And so that's what I miss the most.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you in terms of like playing any sport because there's like the game element and it's like fun. It's not just that, you know, you're active, but like you're doing something like enjoy, well, at least I love to compete. So it's really fun to be there and just move your body in a way that like is not just random exercise. It's like you're doing it towards a goal for whether a team or you're solo. And that part of it, I mean, like I'm speaking as if like I'm an athlete, but not really. I just like, you know, it's just really fun. Like I love tennis. Yeah. I'm so excited for that to be like, I can do that now.
It's nice to try to get good at something and to push yourself. And yes, totally getting your heart rate up and sweating and not having this mindset of like, I'm forcing myself to work out so my body looks a certain way. It's more mm-hmm. so I want to have fun and my body moving is a part of having fun.
Have you found a different outlet for yourself that like kind of gives you those same things, those same feelings?
Not really. And I've been trying to look into ways I can get more involved in like athletics. Max and I have started pickleball. I know that's the new thing everyone's doing. Fun. So it was really fun. We played on Mother's Day against my parents and we're going to go again with our couple friends this coming Sunday. So that's been fun. And I would love to like, I think I have this pipe dream of like, you know, organizing an indoor like pickup volleyball league with like a bunch of the girls around here who used to play at UCLA or USC and like are also feeling like me, they want to play. So who knows, but I need to work on it.
That sounds fun. Like also pickleball is great. I remember they were just like building courts in the community that my in-laws live in out east. And it's like this new sport. It was in summer of 2020. And I was like, I love tennis. So like, I'm like, I must play this. It must be the same. It is not the same, but it is so much fun because it doesn't require that much skill to get the wiffle ball, whatever it is, the pickleball over the net.
Totally. It's definitely, it's like if ping pong and tennis had a baby. It's like when they breed like Great Danes and like poodles, you know?
Yeah. I was playing with my father-in-law who's like almost 70. And he was just like yelling at me, like Carol, get the ball. It's just so fun. And I agree that like, even if it's not like a sports game, like I love card games, any type of games that you can enjoy with your friends is a way to really be present. And time goes by, you're sort of in flow. And I feel like that's actually underrated, really good for your mental health.
Totally. And also being outside, I love being outside. And I have to find time to get outside because of work these days. So yeah. Playing a sport and having my workout be outside is a double, you know, it's like great, double. Mm-hmm.
So you started like a nonprofit, right, for like athletes. Can you tell me about that? Because I mean, you're 25 and I really want to hear about that.
Yes, definitely. So my TED Talk was titled The Hidden Opponent and it was about student athlete mental health. And when I graduated college, I went straight into the public speaking circuit. So I was giving talks at various colleges and universities and high schools. And everywhere I'd go, I'd interact with other athletes who were saying, you know, either I relate to this and I want to be a part of the change. How do I help? Or I love what you're doing, Victoria. How do I share my story? How do I create change like that? You know, I want to, you know, do whatever it is, whether it's on social media or just awareness. And so that is where my initial ideas for the Hidden Opponent nonprofit came from, was how do I create a community where, you know, I can pass the torch and also like cast a wide net and unite all of these student athletes who feel the same way. So that was sort of the main intention behind it being founded originally. And, you know, now it totally serves that purpose. You know, we share student athlete stories almost every single day and articles, whether it's athletes who struggle with depression, anxiety, addiction, you know, divorced parents, dealing with a pressure, a suicidal ideation, you know, whatever it is, we want to cover athletes from a wide range of backgrounds and stories to really shed light on the various issues and obstacles that these students are facing. And we also aim to, you know, advocate for and educate these athletes. So access to mental health resources and care is not, you know, the same for everyone, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we try to provide free programming, whether it's with top performance psychologists who will come in to lead webinars, nutritionists, Olympians will come back to just give advice, programming, and tools for these student athletes to take with them if they aren't getting them necessarily, you know, in their communities. So it's amazing. It's wonderful. I have an incredible group of amazing humans who are all former student athletes who either volunteer or work for the Hidden Opponent and really do keep it running and keep it successful. So it definitely could not be where it is now without all of them. And yeah, we're just so grateful for the community it's created. It's been something that none of us expected, but it's so special.
No, that's awesome. Congratulations. You're definitely providing like a resource that didn't exist, especially for young students. I saw an interview where you were talking about just how like comparing mental health versus like a physical injury, right? And that's the idea. It's the hidden injury. And like that really mental health is still kind of a stigma, at least within the like athlete community. Why do you think that is? And, you know, how can we make it a little bit less of a stigma?
Well, there's a stigma surrounding mental health in general, which will be the first thing I describe to then explain, you know, the unique stigma in sports culture. But historically, we viewed mental health as a society as weakness or as someone is, you know, crazy or they've gone off the deep end. And so it's always been viewed as, you know, something that is not wanted on the person's resume or to be associated with, right? It means there's something wrong. And most people don't want something to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when you take athletes who are also known as society to be the stronger humans, the ones who do, you know, impossible things and they overcome these insane feats and they're strong, right? Also, I think strength is a big thing we think about. We think about athletes are the greatest athletes in the world. So then when you take those humans especially, and you also couple them with the stigma that mental health is a weakness, the strong people especially don't want that weakness. And look, quick pause, there is a unique stigma for a variety of different groups. You know, so this is not me communicating that it is harder for athletes to deal with mental health. Not at all. This is just me being an athlete. And so that's my experience. And it's easier for me to grasp this work within a specific community than trying to do it for the entire world. I think A lot of times people really get sidetracked with like, oh, if I want to be better at this, it's got to be like every single person. It's like, hey, we'll start small. Like what community are you a part of or can you impact? And so for me, mm-hmm. it was student athletes. And so student athletes especially, I think, have this pressure to, you know, want to be captains, want to be leaders. You want to be a starter on your team. And so you don't want to be the one that's in therapy if someone else isn't in therapy, because then the coach is going to think that there's something wrong with you and you can't handle the pressure. And then this person can. So, you know, that is sort of an example of the way that the stigma could like manifest itself. But at the end of the day, you know, athletes don't want to appear weak and society views mental health as weakness. And so that really will shy athletes away from owning what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Would you wish like when you were going through it, like, that someone offered you, like did something different, like your coach or a teacher or anything?
I had so much support on the other side of seeking help at USC. I always joke that they like rolled out the red carpet for me in terms of resources. And I was so grateful to be at a top tier Division I Power 5 school that like had access to those things. You know, I think what I try to push now is the idea that we should make this known for student athletes up front. So not waiting until they fall into their trenches and then they seek help, but can we start this conversation now when everyone is good to go? And so that they know that if they start feeling, you know, unwell or stressed or whatever it might be, that they're like, oh, this is a totally normal thing to feel. Let me go ask someone about this, as opposed to thinking, oh, why am I feeling this way? No one warned me about this. And does this mean like I'm the only one that can't handle it and everyone else can?
Right. Like prevention and just protection before something gets worse. No, that's great. How are you working on your mental health today as you advocate it? Do you feel like your podcast helps? Do you think sometimes you put more pressure on yourself to be, quote, well?
That's such a great question. You know, I actually think it's the opposite. I think I feel, for the most part, very happy and I'm in a great place. And I feel like because I do a lot of advocacy work, people almost expect me to be some sort of unwell. So when I am happy for long periods of time, I become self-conscious that I am happy. And people who are here want to relate to someone who isn't, or is anxious, or is struggling with food. And so I think for me, one of my big shifts I've had to make over the past year is just the evolution of my content. You know, yes, that's how I started. And that was true at the time. And it's always a part of my story, but I am happier now. I love the work that I do. I'm not as stressed as I was as a D1 athlete. I have this wonderful fiance. Like, I'm planning a wedding. Like, I'm very happy. And it's also not sustainable for me to have to tap into this depressed mindset I used to have to create a piece of content in today. Mm-hmm. And that was really causing me a lot of problems, and it was hard for me. And so I've really stepped into kind of who I am now, and I've had to incorporate things like my outfits and my relationship and, you know, find a way to create content that feels like fresh for me now. Like, even the videos with Ella, like, that's fun. And that's something that I experience now, right? Like, like anyone looking in the mirror and disliking something, but how can you twist it? As opposed to what used to be a video I'd feel like I had to make of what my binge eating was like, which is dark and upsetting. And I don't want to think about it every day. And I knew it wasn't going to be something I could keep doing for the rest of my life and maintain good mental health. So, you know, to answer your question, no, I don't feel that pressure you described, but I feel the pressure of, am I too happy now? And I've had to really accept, like, yeah, I am happy. I'm allowed to be. And like all humans, our lives continue to grow and evolve. And if that means someone doesn't want to follow me anymore, that's okay. And I hope that in that season of life that they needed me, I could have been helpful.
That's a great outlook. What do you attribute to being so happy now? How do you feel like you got there?
I'm like everyone else in the sense that I, you know, when I say I'm happy now, I guess I mean I'm not like clinically depressed
right
now.
You're not unhappy.
Right. Like, I'm not on antidepressants anymore, you know, but I'm definitely not like always super happy. Like, nothing gets me down. But I would just say, I think environment is huge. And if I were to just give one tip or, you know, spark one thought in whoever's listening, it's environment. And when I think back on when I wasn't my best self, environment plays a huge role. The people you're with, the things you're doing with your everyday life. I mean, like, I showed up and had to do things physically with my body for 3 hours, like pushing these limits, and I didn't want to be there. I mean, that day after day is going to wear you down. So the people you surround yourself with, the things you do, like whatever part of that you can control, I encourage you to take control of it and build it and create it in a way that does bring you joy and is conducive to the person you want to be.
That's great. We both said, like, it's really up and down. It's never just like you're happy and you've made it. Like, there's obviously days where it kind of isn't, kind of you feel like shit. So since you kind of shared your mental process when you were going through like a very small but important moment, like you're sitting there at the wedding, are there certain things that you do, like specific things that could be helpful to somebody listening that get you through that day? Like, you wake up and you're like, this is not me at my peak. What am I going to do next?
Yes. So I think it can be hard to be in a moment like, you know, I'm at a restaurant with people and I'm having these feelings, like to go through this certain framework or pull out your phone and journal or go to the bathroom and meditate. Like, those things can be hard. So I would just emphasize two words. You know, the first is compassion. So just in any of these moments, everyone listening, you know, compassion. So, okay, I know why this is happening. Like, I've struggled with this for a while. This makes sense. Or I live in a world that's told me, you know, something and I I understand where this is coming from. So have that compassion instead of, I can't believe I'm thinking this way. I've been listening to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I've been listening to Real Pod. Like, I've been doing all my work. Why am I like happy with myself? Just compassion. I get it. I get it. The shit's hard. The second thing is just kindness. You know, if your friend called you and said, oh my God, I'm sitting at dinner right now. And you know, this is how I'm feeling. You wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that. Like you said, you wouldn't. Like you'd be like, it's okay. Like you're beautiful. You know, you'd be kind to them. So I think when you speak to yourself and you try to navigate the situation, kindness. And so I think if you have compassion, you have kindness. I think those two things kind of dosed or lathered on whatever is the framework that helps you will really go a long way.
Yeah, I agree with you there. From my personal experience, like what helps me is reminding myself that like feeling like shit is part of the human experience. Yeah. We're not expected to be like skipping through the fields every single day. Like there's going to be off days. There's going to be off moments, really off days, really off moments. It's like the same way you're saying your environment really matters. Like your environment's not static. Like right. There are people, things, notifications, things that happen day to day. So like you're not expected to be just even keeled positive all the time. So like just accepting that that is just part of our human existence and experience, that helps me kind of get through like some rocky moments, thoughts or days, whatever. Yeah.
I love that. And I love hearing what works for other people because you never know like what little part you can incorporate into your own little routine.
Definitely, because everybody thinks so differently and everybody's motivated by such different things that it's awesome to hear lots of different experiences. So if anybody's listening and wants to submit what works for them, send it to dst@batches.com or at DietStarsTomorrow, post it and tag us. I'm at Aileen. Victoria is at Victoria Garrick.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I have one more question and we're doing DST confessions, so I'm really excited. So this is a confession I want from you. What's like a habit or ritual that you do that's weird, like behind closed doors, you don't want anyone to see, like not your serial killer trait, but like kind of your serial killer trait. Like what's a weird thing that you do?
Oh my gosh, such a good question. Okay, wait, give me like a minute to think about
this. I can
give
you examples of
weird, oh yeah, that'd be great.
Weird stuff. Like, okay, you can't go to the bathroom without like a squatty potty. Like you only watch TV at like a certain volume or like things need to be arranged a certain way for you to do X, right. Y, Z. Like you won't eat unless your fork is to your right. It could be like OCD traits.
I guess I would say like, I don't know if this is like a weird thing that I do, but I am in denial about the fact that I am not a that girl. You know, that's a trending on TikTok, like be that girl, like your place is clean, you do all these things. I'm like, I will not accept the fact that that's not me. And so I continue to do things that I know I won't do. Like I have all these post-it notes on my desk of like random to-do things and I never do them. And then after like a few months, I see them sitting there and I don't even want to read them and remember what it is. So I just scrunch them up and throw them away.
Yeah, no, that's great. We had a whole episode about how that girl toxic is like a toxic thing, like toxic, totally. Quote unquote. No one is this like goddess of juice and, you know, post-it notes and like, fucking like bullet journaling every 3 seconds, you know? So totally. You throw out your post-it note, you write all your like perfect to-dos and then
I just like write notes and then I, after like months go by and I realize I'm like, whatever was on there hasn't been done and my life seems fine. So before I even look at it and get stressed, I'm just going to throw it away.
That's kind of motivating. I love that. Like I've had things on my to-do list forever, but they're on my phone and I'm just like, I don't want to delete them, but I know it's been like 4 months. So it's like, I'm definitely not going to do them. So should I just set them free? So I love that you physically throw them out. That must be very cathartic.
Literally. And before even reading them.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. Thanks for joining me on this episode of DST. And guys, listen to this Thursday's DST because Victoria is joining me again to answer all of your dear DST. She's going to share her DST win and we're just going to have basically another fun episode. So go do that. Where can people follow you? Where can they find you?
Oh my gosh. Well, so excited for that episode. They can follow me on Instagram at Victoria Garrick and listen to my podcast called Real Pod, which I had you and Sammy on also a year ago. So they can check that out.
I think we recorded it the same week. I also like found out I was pregnant like around that time. It was a very whirlwind time. Yeah, everyone go listen to Real Pod and follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow. Go check out Shop Betches. Go get our DST crew. It's the best sweatshirt you will literally ever wear. It says Through Thick and Thin on the sleeve and it says DST and there's a really cute little doodle of a French fries, which makes me hungry all the time, every time I wear it. So check that out and follow me at Aileen. Leave us a review and we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Stacey Wong, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Betches.